It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out Radio Show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard throughout the tri-state area. Listen on the radio at kntrtalk.com and the TuneIn radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When legendary drummer Keith Moon was MIA, who did the Who turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
When the great Pele asked for a sub, who did his World Cup team turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
Now this world-renowned musician slash athlete has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only, I mean, could you imagine a twin? Paul Lavoie.
Had $1 million, I'd buy your love.
All right, welcome to Speak Out. Sound advice with Brian Springberg. I'm Paul Lavoie on a Thursday, April 14th, 2022. Brian and I got into a conversation earlier about perspective when it comes to $1 million. When this song was produced, was it 2001?
1988.
What?
Yeah, I knew it was a long time.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So in 1988, $1 million... I would like to see.
Well, what we're saying is,
what would that be worth now?
Yeah, well, invested in the market, lots. You know, the
lots. Good financial term.
Lots.
All right.
Everybody understands that.
Mm-hmm.
So we were just talking about, you know, how inflation is relative to things, and so we were singing, we were changing the lyrics to, you know, if I had $1 million, I'd need another $1 million.
Right. So the $1 million question right now, how far will the Suns go in the playoffs?
Oh, God. Well, they assume all the way.
Don't assume. We don't want to jinx it.
No, I'm not
right?
assuming.
I just knocked on a wooden table, by the way.
No, we're the best team in the league. It's not even a question. We are the best team in the league.
I thought we were last year too.
But the Bucks were unstoppable.
You notice how I say we, like I'm on the team?
All five foot seven
of me, right?
Yep.
So we found out when the Suns play again. That is Sunday night, scheduled at 6 o'clock on our sports station, KNTR Sports, game one. And they still don't know who it will be, so Monty still can't really develop a game plan, but it'll be the winner of the New Orleans Pelicans and the LA Clippers tomorrow night. So that game is tomorrow night, and I'm going to guess the Clips.
Yeah.
I'm just going to guess, you know, we'll face the Clippers in the first, there we go again, in the first round. So, okay, and Diamondbacks pulled off a ninth inning walk-off, or a tenth inning walk-off yesterday.
Sweet.
Against Houston.
You know how I know that?
What?
My receptionist, Robin, went, in the middle of the day.
That's awesome. I had no idea Robin was a D-back fan.
Huge fan.
So now we have something in common. Perfect. So Diamondbacks come off of that win. So they split the series with the Astros. It was 3-2, 10 innings. And then they play again. All 3 days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, are 10 o'clock or 10-10 or 10:40 games. It's like from the East Coast, they play the New York Mets.
Mm.
So it's like, what are the Mets like? The new Wrigley or something? You know, the Mets Stadium? 10 a.m. on a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday?
Interesting.
Right. That's a 1 o'clock game on the East Coast.
Yeah, huh?
Yeah, right.
Well, there's enough people who, you know.
Apparently.
Work from home.
Either that or they said work
from the stadium.
Either they said the Diamondbacks are going to be in town. Yeah, let's play an afternoon game. There you go.
So there you go.
980 AM, 94.3, 100.5. KNTR Sports, welcome to the team. Go.
Market's currently mixed. The S&P 500 down 0.44%. The NASDAQ down 1.23%. Year to date, you know, the U.S. market, as measured by the S&P 500, is down somewhere around 7.5% or so. And so it's down, and this is from its highs. You know, this is from its highs. And so it's down enough to where you start thinking about rotating money in, but is it down enough to start rotating money in? Well, again, that depends upon when you're going to want to start taking income or some portion of those invested assets back out, what you're going to be investing in. There's no question that there's a lot of questions about where the market and the economy are going on so many levels. We still remain extremely strong. Corporate profits, which I'm going to get on my soapbox again about in a few minutes, are raging for the most part. Some starting to come back down relative to where they were, and you know, jobless claims and job availability and employment and all those things still remain extremely strong across the country. And at the same time, of course, we continue to face our challenges. Inflation concerns, whether that will eat somewhat into economic growth, the Federal Reserve raising interest rates to calm that rising inflation down, which is intended to slow down the rising prices, which will therefore, you know, potentially slow down economic growth. The ongoing conflict I mentioned last show is that in the short term, it's not a huge effect, but if this continues to drag on, make no mistake, it will have negative effects on global economic growth. And so all those kind of weighing in, where is it all going to end up? The longer it goes, the more likelihood of some kind of a recession taking place, perhaps the beginning to middle of next year is the conversation amongst many economists. Not that that immediately means the worst thing in the world. In fact, the stock market doesn't necessarily go down in those types of periods, but it does look like there's those kinds of pressures certainly existing right now. But if you are in a position to fund your IRA for 2021, do it. Do not get caught up in the, oh, I don't know what's going on in the market, in the economy. You can put the money into your IRA in a mutual fund family or in a brokerage account and just put it into the money market. You don't have to put it into the stock market. You can put it in certain kind of bond markets maybe, and you don't even have to do that. Your goal is to get your money contributed and get that tax deduction for 2021, or if you're eligible, contribute to a Roth and get that money growing tax-free for your future, and just make sure that you have the money funded. You have until when the investment entity will accept contributions, and from the IRS's point of view, of course, you have until you file, which is Monday, is actually the last day to file for last year without any extensions. And so trying to make sure that you put money away for your future and do those things is important, because one of the conversations that I think we'll have today is about retirement. And how much will you spend? Will it be more than you expected? And in lots of cases, that is the case. And so we have to pay close attention when you get to those stages, because you're not working. You don't have earned income coming in. What you got is what you got, other than for some people, perhaps inheritance. And that goes into the plan as well, of course. But you have to make sure that you're thinking through expenses relative to income with Social Security, your investment portfolio, if you have a pension, and again, like I said, inheritance, to see how all of that kind of fits together so you can get an idea of what your quality of life is going to look like relative to your finances, and if you're going to be able to do what you want to do. Because I can tell you, not everybody gets to that stage. And I love, love, love my appointments when I'm meeting with somebody and what they have done relative to paying down debts and accumulating puts them in a good position. And that, I don't mean everybody's wealthy sitting across from me. Of course, some are. But what I mean is that for what they're looking to do, how they want to live, what makes them happy going forward, there's enough. They don't owe any debts other than, you know, air conditioning and beer money. That's, yeah, right. That's what you need.
Sure.
And, you know, tongue in cheek, I get you got to pay insurances and taxes and et cetera. But really, if you can eliminate your car payments, your house payments, your credit card payments, those kinds of things, you don't need a ton of income coming in. And so you have to pay close attention to where all of that's going to lead. And I help people do that every single week and put that together so that you have that peace of mind. So take the first break of the hour here. Are we ready to go?
Sure.
Because I got a topic I want to get into, take a few minutes with it, and then we can go from there. So when we come back, let's talk a little bit about if it feels like prices are jacked up. Well, they are. And if you're wondering, well, what does that really mean to the stock market? What does that mean to your portfolio? And, you know, why is that happening? I got more information, more statistics to kind of drive the point home of what's actually happening in our economy relative to the rising price of almost everything. We'll be back here in just a few minutes here on Sound Advice on Speak Out. And let's let the raconteurs take us out.
All right, we'll do that in a second, but I've got a kind of breaking news from District 5 County Supervisor Ron Gould's office. Mm-hmm. You've heard of the $165 Gould give back. Have you heard of this?
No.
It's from the District 5 share of the stimulus money that went to the county.
Okay.
So the informational letter instructing the residents of Mojave County's 5th District on how to apply for their $165 per person, that stimulus payment, letter was recently mailed out. If you believe you're a resident of District 5 and you did not receive the application, contact Valerie with Supervisor Gould's office. That's 928-758-0739. And the deadline to turn that in is June 30th. Now, to help with the administration of the project, the county's looking to hire 4 employees for temporary accounting and finance office specialist positions. So that's kind of cool. Applicants do not need to live in District 5 and must be able to pass the county's background check for employment. So applications can be completed online or contact Human Resources at 928-753-0736, which kind of leads to an observation on my part.
Yes.
When you give away $165 per person, you open up employment opportunities that are temporary, which is, I don't know.
Yeah.
You're actually paying out even more money now for you know, salaries, right?
For salaries, yeah, a little bit. A little bump.
It's part-time. But anyway, we'll be back with more in a moment. You're listening to Sound Advice with Brian Springberg. I'm Paul Lavoie. Stay with us. What's the name of the band? It's a Jack White.
Raconteurs, yeah. So Jack White, you know, just a prolific artist. Can't help himself.
Right.
Unbelievably talented.
I don't think he sleeps.
So this was his, I want to say, this might have been his first serious side project, you know, as far as music goes. So love this band. Love this guy.
This is Now That You're Gone, Raconteurs. Back with more in a moment. Stay with us. I'm Paul Lavoie. Welcome back to Speak Out. It's Sound Advice with, I don't want to call you the co-host. You are the host of Sound Advice. I'm the host of Speak Out. So
yeah,
there you go.
It's a team effort.
Right. Speaking of team, wow.
Segway.
What a segue. Mojave Mortgage. Now, there's a team. You got a team of mortgage people. They have teams of community people, teams. There's a team effort over there. Patio Paradise, also samsguns.com, Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford. The Lewis team, Remax by the Lake with team leader Bobby Lewis and Julie Lewis. And, of course, Springberg Wealth Management. Brian.
Sob.
You had something you wanted to go on.
Of course.
Extended hyperbole about.
Weird.
I don't know about hyperbole, but.
Weird.
That's all I could
say.
So
I just, you know, kind of looking at, you know, so Fortune magazine, had an article that just, you know, came out, I guess it'd be just 2 weeks ago, very end of March of this year. U.S. companies post their biggest profit growth in decades. U.S. companies' pre-tax profits surged 25% in 2021 to $2.81 trillion, outpacing at the time an increase of 6.7% jump in consumer prices. Keep in mind, a lot of the what we're seeing, of course, take place in inflation is the price of gas, which does affect the price of a lot of things because gas is used to transport a lot of things. Oil is used to make a lot of things. But it just is information that, to me, simplifies, clarifies, again, what's going on. If we look at taxes that are factored in, corporate profits went up 37% year over year. More than any other time since tracking began in 1948.
Now break that down.
Year
that's
over year.
That's profit.
That's corporate profit.
That's profit, profit, folks.
That's not just
we're not
sales.
Talking about the cost of them yeah. doing business. We're talking about profit.
Yeah. And so when, you know, so let's give the positives to that. Corporations make more money profit-wise. Your stock portfolio should increase if you have exposure to that, right? So your 401k in those, your IRA, your investment accounts, which is all, of course, fantastic. Also positive is that there are some employers that take that money and they use it to expand operations, reinvest in themselves in terms of equipment, in terms of expansion, hiring more employees, increasing existing employees' compensation. Those are all positives that definitely come from that. And so when we look at that, we have to say it's, you know, those things seem to be great. The other side of that coin is, when they do that, another portion of what they do goes to the form of dividends to shareholders of that company, to the CEOs of that company. They buy back their own stock instead of reinvesting it into their own company. And so there's not, you know, the benefit is extremely concentrated to the few and not the many. And that is their right. Of course, it's corporate profit. It's capitalism. It's how it's supposed to work. They control that. But the issue that you're hearing come up from many is that if corporate profits are hitting these records and we're all looking around at the price of things and corporate profits went up the most year over year since tracking this began 74 years ago, you have to understand that the reason why everything cost more, by far, predominantly, is just the fact that there's a big enough percentage of the population willing to pay more for these things. And so they can keep those prices elevated or continue to charge more because the volume of how much they're selling is not going down because there's enough money in corporate America, in private citizens, a percentage of them, at least, willing to pay those prices. And so if you're somebody who's griping about the cost of things but still spending pretty much the same spending patterns you always have or maybe even more, you're the reason why everything costs more. I'm included in that, everybody. I'm not pointing fingers. I'm not blaming. I'm just saying that's why. That's why it's happening. And the way that that changes is that eventually enough of the population says, well, I'm not as comfortable with my spending habits. I'm going to change how much I'm spending on certain things. You start seeing profitability go down in businesses, and so they're going to start spending less money, and demand starts going down for a variety of reasons, and therefore to make profit levels, corporations have to lower prices to increase the volume to trying to keep profitability going. And so we're in this weird space right now of being... Yeah, of just being conscious of nothing in this world is perfect. There is no system of government that is perfect. We've done pretty darn well in this country for a long time. But make no mistake, shocker, our system isn't perfect. And sometimes something occurs that balance gets out of whack. And we all get mad and we all want to point fingers. But guess what it is? It's capitalism. It's how it works, everybody. How much every business out there is going to charge what they can to make as much money as they can. If they have to lower their prices to keep profits and keep their doors open, then that's what they'll do. And if they don't, they're going to charge more. And that's how it works. And so when we're kind of examining everything and I'm throwing out information, I am not throwing out editorial, everybody. This is fact. This is exactly what is happening right now. And to dispute it is to dispute the facts. And so I'm trying to read those tea leaves on behalf of my clients, like, okay, well, when do these spending patterns change? And one of the positive effects that we talked about was it raising, companies' profits, which dictates, of course, their stock prices, and so the market, and so your investment portfolio is ebbing and flowing as a result of this. And so trying to integrate all of this as to where the economy is going and how much does it slow down, and does it slow down too fast, too much, and integrating that into a financial plan for your time frame and for whether you're touching those assets, that's how it all fits together and why we bother talking about these things and why it is relative. It's not just relative because it's harder to make ends meet for a lot of people. It's relative also for people where it doesn't really change their lifestyle, but, you know, they're used to having some money and they're watching their portfolios fluctuate. And so why is that? And what's happening? Well, this is all part and parcel to that.
So you talk about profits, okay? When you think about, okay, before this price hike, this extreme price hike on gasoline, when you think about the difference between Bullhead City and Havasu Gas, what do you think, 20 cents?
You know, I'm not sure. It's typically lower.
It was typically 20 cents lower in Bullhead.
Yeah.
So if Chevron is, okay, bad example. Well, if gas is $4.79 here?
I think it's a little less depending upon where you are. $4.65 or something, but somewhere between that. Yeah.
Okay, well,
$4.65 to $5 actually,
right,
I'm sure is the
right.
Range.
Right now, typical gas, if I remember right, I was there last week in Bullhead City, was $4.25 to $4.30, $4.39. In that area. And it's like, really? I mean, is it that much difference? And then Kingman, I hear, is just a little bit higher than that. So it's just, you know, it makes you wonder.
Well, I got two.
It's a distribution point issue for Havasu, isn't it?
It's partially a distribution point. How much does it cost to transport oil or gas or goods and services? That's part of it. Certainly. But I think it's also interesting, and I don't know this to be true, but it might be relative to the per capita income of these different places. You know, if you were to look at the per capita income of the residents of Bullhead City and Fort Mojave versus the average for Lake Havasu City, it's going to be considerably higher in Lake Havasu City. And so perhaps my broader point is actually on a microcosm relative to our small communities out here, where those communities that have lower income and therefore will spend less money on fuel if the price goes to a certain point and that volume starts affecting those gas stations, they lower the price relative. Now, I don't know that to be true or not true, because that is the case in good and bad times. In other words, it always seems lower, regardless of what's happening, but that thinking would remain in effect whether it was good or bad times, because right. volume is volume, you know, relative to what's happening.
I don't know, but maybe
that's a possibility.
I even went to a grocery store in Fort Mojave, and the prices were noticeably lower. Noticeably lower.
For gas or for food?
Gas. I'm sorry, for food at a grocery store. Noticeably lower for items I buy.
For the same stuff.
Yes, you know what you buy.
Oh, yeah.
So when you see a price that's noticeably lower, you're like, wait a minute. Why is it that price here and not there when I'm shopping the same store?
Another example to drive home the point I was making.
Yes. Thank
that,
you.
Why that is. It's interesting how all of that kind of works together. And so, you know, to me, it's this bizarre confluence of things is that such a big percentage of the country has been doing so well for so long financially, and another percentage of the country is not, you know, is staying the same. But again, wages have gone up, everybody. So there's some positive that has definitely occurred, but maybe not relative to these other costs that, especially if you're retired, you know, who cares if wages have gone up? They don't. And so trying to figure out how that works. And so the irony is that the business is killing it and prospering now. And so, boy, if I was just thinking, if the Democrats thought, you know, cause typically in a midterm, the party in power in the White House
gets
their head handed to them in the midterm. And that
right.
goes both directions. That's right. just history.
That's the way it is.
But now I'm like, oh gosh, historically the Democratic Party is trying to appeal to, the quote working person or the, you know, lower income or the retiree and all that. And those people are the people who are suffering the most right now, their constituents as a percentage,
right.
and the people who are prospering the most are people who historically will also vote, who will vote against Democratic, thinking from a true or not, but pro-business, pro-tax perspective in their minds at least. And so I'm like, oh God, I would expect a steamrolling. I don't know what the messaging is going to be, but it's good luck with that.
You know, I've said it many, 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 many times to Republicans who are in the Arizona House, Arizona Senate, governors, that Republicans never miss an opportunity to miss an opportunity. All right?
Well, politicians.
So don't keep score of the midterms just yet. That's all I'm saying.
I'm just thinking from a perspective like
right.
that. I'm like, wow, that's talk about a perfect storm of bad things happening, you know, and that's going to make a lot of people in Mojave County happy.
Speaking of perfect storm, the next song is Sunday Driver.
You could get a
perfect storm there with Canadian drivers, snowbirds, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
Is that politically correct?
All I know is this, is that I'm a fan of, like, the dirty blues, a little dirty rock and roll. And I don't even know how that fits
right.
in the description, but if you turn the song up, you know what I mean.
You like that raw sound.
I do.
Back with more in a moment. This is Sound Advice with Brian Springberg. I'm Paul Lavoie. Little Jack White and the Raconteurs. We're back on Sound Advice with Brian Springberg, and I'm Paul Lavoie, the host of Speak Out, brought to you in part by Horizon Community Bank, Mojave Community College, GDK LLC, SunPower by Esme Electric, My favorite word, differentiated by an apostrophe and used twice. Oh, sorry. Do it, Brian. You knew it.
Herbs, herbs.
Yep, you knew it. Thane O'Brien was spot on. Give Thane the Lonely Guy a call. 928-706-2784. Or send an email to tobryan@spoton.com. Why is Thane the Lonely Guy? Because Spot On is one of the most dependable programs in the point-of-sale industry. So he never has to go fix anything or call on his customers because they're upset about Spot On. It works all the time.
All the time.
I was even, I went to breakfast in Fort Mojave at one of those little shop local eateries, you know, a breakfast lunch place.
Cool.
And right there on the screensaver said Spot On.
Perfect.
I was like, hey, that must be Lonely Guy's account. So there you go.
Lonely Guy. So you get to retirement. What do your expenses look like? How do you deal with that? And so it is a getting yourself comfortable and having that peace of mind is serious business, because you're now dealing with perhaps health issues. You're, of course, dealing with grown children and grown children issues, grandchildren. And so your financial situation, as my father always told me, money doesn't buy happiness, but it sure keeps the other things going wrong in your life from feeling as bad as they might otherwise be if you don't have money problems on top of it. And so getting yourself into a proper frame of mind and also into a good financial position is vital. To get there, you need to start really focusing on it several years before you actually retire. And that means, from a psychological point of view, understanding what your day-to-day is going to look like, making sure you have hobbies and activities. If you're somebody who's been an entrepreneur your whole life, or you've been working since you were 13 years old or whatever it is, and you kind of identify yourself through your work, you're going to want to seriously devote yourself to figuring out how else you're going to identify yourself. Like, who are you? And I don't mean that in a funny way. I mean that in a really serious way, because so many people get lost when they get there.
Yeah.
And that affects their personality, and depression and all these things can enter into it. I've been doing this for 28 years. I can tell you it happens. And so I try to give some advice to people about trying to get that in order before they get there to retirement. And then secondly, of course, is making sure that your debts are paid down. You've done all your homework on your insurances to reduce those costs as much as possible. Keeping your costs down all the time, but especially at retirement, is so vital, because it's all about cash flow. How much is coming in a month dictates kind of your quality of life. And if you don't owe much, well, then you don't need much income. And so it becomes part of that formula. And when you get to retirement, think of it this way. If the cost of things, if you happen to retire during a period of an inflationary period of time, that means that for the same amount of income, you have a lower financial quality of life than if you had retired during a low inflationary period of time. Easy examples, just go back. If you had retired 12 years ago, 15 years ago, all you've known is ridiculously low inflation. Like, inflation half as much as historical, like 2%. And suddenly it's 8%, and you're like, oh my gosh. Well, you've been spoiled, okay? I hope you enjoyed that low inflationary period. Unfortunately, if you had any money in savings, you also didn't make any money, but the cost of things has been so darn low and not going up. Well, it jumps, and here you are. And if you haven't planned for that, and you've been retired, it's a shock. And if you are now retiring, it may kind of adjust how much money you're spending on what, which, of course, diverts money from some other things that you may have hoped to spend your money on. Projects around the house. Well, you'd set aside 40 grand to redo the kitchen and a bathroom. And now your quotes are 60 grand. And you're not redoing your kitchen and your bathroom. Just your kitchen. Or whatever the case may be. So, it has real effects, and when those effects start showing up in the broader economy is what we're all talking about. It's hard to know, but right now, of course, things remain extremely resilient and extremely strong on the whole. And when interest rates go up, the cost of housing, of course, increases on a monthly basis. Now, the cost of the house is going to start going down because the cost of financing homes is going to start going up and people are going to stop being as comfortable with cash. But it doesn't appear that's tomorrow in terms of the price of housing because there's such a housing shortage. So the financial part of it is one thing, the cost of the house, the interest rates, but the availability of housing, don't forget that. And that's one of the things that's keeping the price of housing up right now so high, because you're thinking, gosh, how can this keep going? Because the cost of labor, the cost of materials, interest rates going up, well, it's because there's not enough houses for everybody. Why? Well, you know, I think I gave the stat last week that I read, 20% of all houses purchased last year were purchased by investors.
So there, a lot of those are Vrbos and
short-term rentals.
Short-term rentals.
Yep.
Yeah. 20%.
Yeah. So, you know, if you're talking a million homes, there's 200,000 of them available.
But doesn't that create a good opportunity for the developer?
Well, yeah, that can. Well, of course, but it's good for investors, people who have a lot of money.
Sure.
Bad for first-time home buyers or people who can't afford prices at a certain point. So now, it's really hard because it's both things. Oh, interest rates just went up on a 30-year mortgage to about 5%, and prices haven't really gone down. And so it's going to take the prices to come down at some juncture at the higher interest rate levels, which are going to be here for a little while, everybody, for people to try to get in. Because ultimately, if you can get together your down payment, the next thing is, well, what can I afford a month without stressing out? And that interest rate is a big driver of what that monthly cost is going to be.
So you've said you have a daughter in the Pacific Northwest, correct?
Correct.
Are they having the same issues there with short-term rentals that we're having in Arizona?
Everywhere, USA.
Because here it's the state legislature that created the snowball rolling down the hill, you know, effect when they passed the legislation favoring that type of short-term rental in 2017.
It is a
national. You have to let them in.
There is hardly any place not going through this in the United States right now.
So they have a serious lobby.
This
right
is
now.
A what? Oh, to try
that industry. Sure.
Yeah, of course they do.
Yeah.
But when I say this is a thing. I'm talking more to the housing situation. I mean, it is a national issue.
It's getting to be a crisis.
It's getting to be a crisis, and. Yeah. It will self-correct. It will self-correct.
It just may take a lot of time.
When does it do it? And
right.
When I say self-correct, that means that there could be some investors, there could be developers, there could be, you know, certain people who are over-leveraged who find themselves in a tough position, which will drive down the cost for housing, which will allow more people entry, positive thing, but you know, the yin and yang of this world is that the negatives could occur relative to how the overall economy is going, because what that'll mean is that there's a slowdown on a lot of industry that provides jobs and those kinds of things. It's really unique, everybody. One last thought before we go to this next break. I was reading this article was it Wall Street Journal? Trying to remember the source. But it was focused on the business owner in Indiana. You know, lifelong Republican business person, a conservative man in a conservative county in a conservative state, right? Like red, red, red across the board. And he is talking to his local reps advocating for relaxing immigration standards because he can't get enough people to work for him. You know, and so this labor issue, you know, we've got the unbelievably low unemployment, as I've mentioned, you know, historically low in whatever 15 states, and nationally, you know, maybe not all time low, but pretty darn close, right? And we're in the meantime, we've got, you know, was it Governor Abbott busing processed immigrants to D.C. to try to prove a point and whatever? And it's funny because I bet you there's some employers in D.C. are going to be like, awesome, you know, because these are not illegal aliens. These are people, processed immigrants.
Yeah, right.
And so, you know, it's to prove a point of like these illegals or these too many people coming over the border or whatever they're trying to make. Ironically, there might be some employers going, oh, thank God, I got some people to hire. So just a really weird time for people relative to jobs and labor. Hey, we got to take our last break of the hour. Let's kick it out. One last tune from the Ronkin Tours. We'll be right back here in just a minute on Sound Advice on Speaker.
All right. This is Some Days I Don't Feel Like Trying. Back with more in a moment. On Speak Out, Sound Advice with Brian Springer. Stay with us.
See inside of me, you'd see a heart made of gold. And I try to live a good life and keep an open mind.
The views expressed on Speak Out are not necessarily the opinion of KNTR Talk 106.3 FM and should not be construed directly or indirectly as an offer to buy or sell any securities that would be mentioned therein. Investing is subject to risk involving loss of principal invested. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. No strategy can assure a profit nor protect against loss. Please note that individual situations may vary. Therefore, the information should be relied upon when coordinated with individual professional advice. Securities and investment advisory services offered through SagePoint Financial, member of FINRA, SIPC. SagePoint Financial is separately owned, and other entities or marketing names, products, or services referenced since here are independent of SagePoint Financial.
That's for the person who didn't put enough away for retirement, right?
Some days I don't feel like trying.
No, some days I just feel like crying.
Cry? Oh, gosh.
Sorry, folks.
No problem.
Sick so financial humor.
One of the big news stories is, you know, Elon Musk bought like a 9% stake in Twitter, you know, the social media platform, and was asked to sit on his board, and he was like, okay, and then he said, no, I'm not. And the reason he decided that, everybody suspected, was that he would be making a bigger offer as a percentage of Twitter, and he did, as in, I want to buy Twitter. So, $43 billion offer. Not exactly sure how he would come up with that kind of cash. He would have to sell Tesla stock in order to do that, which of course he could.
I thought he already did that, and that's what made him the richest man in the world. I thought he sold all of his stock in Tesla.
No, he has to. He would have to sell a bunch to come up
okay.
with cash.
All right, I got you.
Or use a loan against the value.
He'd have to go liquid.
So he'd have to get some liquidity, and
right.
So, yeah. So it's interesting because he's been highly critical of it because he thinks it can be so much better than it is. And, you know, just kind of an interesting thing. And on a philosophical level, I look at it like, you know, at the end of the day, hey, you know, business is business. And so anybody can afford to buy anything, you know, you should. That's how it works.
Everything's for sale.
But the motivation behind it is interesting because it's obviously if you own it, then you also have the ability within FCC guidelines, I suppose, or whatever, to control limits on what people can say.
Just like Zuckerberg,
what they can talk about. And yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And so if you disagree with that, so you can actually shape a huge population of the Earth's
pop culture,
you know,
sure.
you know, opinion on things by mm-hmm. what you, how you allow discussion and discourse to take place on that. And so it's actually a pretty, I don't know, interesting thing to think about, because it can cut both ways, right?
Is that
I mean, like, to me, social media cuts both ways.
Is that a true conundrum?
I love free conversation and speech and all that, but the other side is you allow, you know, evil. You allow misinformation to be seen as information, which in some ways has gotten us into some of the messes we all look at our country at now and say, well, how did this go wrong?
Yeah.
Well, this is part of it.
I wouldn't mind social media just going away.
Yeah.
I really wouldn't.
Hey, have a great weekend, everybody. Stay safe. Put on a little sunscreen. Enjoy the beautiful weather. We'll look forward to catching up with you next week here again on Sound Advice on Speak Out.
Sunscreen? I was one of those guys who never used sunscreen back in the day, you know?
I'm going to remind you that 25 years.
Yeah, now you can tell. All right, on tomorrow's show, it's Good Friday. We've got Pastor Kay Zimmerman coming in from the Wildfire Ministries, Wildfire Revival, and Mike Bonney. Why? Tomorrow's April 15th. All right, we'll see you tomorrow on Speak Out. Hannity is up next, preceded by Fox News.
This is KNTR Talk, KJJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM and 106.3, the voice of the free.